Wow, what a song. What an interesting song. I hear God singing to me. That is an interesting, deep concept, to be able to hear God singing. And I guess my question is, what is he singing to us? If you're a parent, you've probably done this before. You would sing to your children, right? And what songs do you sing to your children? You better clean up that room. I'm sorry. Yes. What songs? Yes. Okay. I never heard of it, but amen. Sounds good. Yes. What's that? Jesus loves me. Okay, you're singing that to your kid, yeah? Okay. All right. All right. Yes. Jesus on the main line. All right. All right. Yes. A lot of what? Our God is an awesome God. Okay. Okay. Yes. God is so good. What do you sing to your kids? What are you singing to them? Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, I was just thinking of just the thought of God singing to me. What is he singing? What are the lyrics? You know, yes. That he loves us. Keep trusting. He's got me. I got you. Yes. 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 Yeah, you can depend on me. Trust in my promises, little girl. I'm there. I'm with you. Believe in me. One day you're going to see me. One day you're going to know. One day it's going to be all worth it. I don't know how you sing that in a song, but I know he's singing to us. But just the thought, it just dawned on me, the thought of, and we sing it all the time. I hear God singing. What is he singing? You know? It's an interesting thought. But anyway, good morning. Great to have you here. I'm so glad you're able to come here and worship with us. We're very grateful. If you're visiting with us, we definitely want to extend our arms to you and give you a big hug and say thank you for coming. Welcome. We are super excited to be here, and we have some good news. We have some good news. You got to share good news, right? Ashley and Evan are engaged. You know, stand up, Evan. Stand up, Evan. Ashley, stand on up. You know, so wonderful. You know, you probably already know because it's on Twitter and Instagram and Snap something and whatever, you know. It's great to be able to celebrate as a family when someone gets engaged. And I just want to tell you guys, I'm so thankful for the way that, you know, especially this past year, you've embraced serving in a great way. You guys serve together. And just to see you back there serving God, using your talents. And I know you're on a date sometimes too back there, but that's okay. She's sitting with her parents right now, and she has to be close to her man. You know, I get that. You know, she's usually in the booth, but really, not only you guys, but the many of you who are younger, who have risen up to either sing, serve in some type of way, that is a blessing, and we are very thankful for you guys rising up. Amen. Amen. Rising up. And I want to tell you, if you're a millennial, if you consider yourself young, we need every part of the body to be the body of Christ. We need every one of you. We want you to serve in some way, shape, or form. Don't be afraid to say, hey, I want to do this and try. If you feel like that's your talent, that's your gift, that's what God has given you, we need you to serve. We are family. Carlin and I, we were away Thursday, Friday, Saturday in Orlando, along with the Shines, the Bowens, and the Youngers. And we went to a conference called Unboxed. Unboxed. It's a second annual conference, Unboxed. And really, Unboxed is not a church conference. It's a conference about church. It's a conference about how we do church. How can we grow in areas? It's almost like when you have a family meeting and you kind of get together and go, okay, now, here's some things we're doing great as a family, but here's the things that we can improve on as a family. And so many, many different speakers came, and Cheryl and I got to speak on different topics. And you know, my topic was, can you spell sabbatical? That was the title. Can you spell sabbatical? And when 10 years ago, when we were interviewed for this job, the leadership group at the time wanted to communicate to us that we want you and Carlin at some point in your time here to go on sabbaticals. Now, I'm like, a what? Couldn't even spell it. What is a sabbatical? I mean, I knew in academia, you know, how the professors go, but what about for a minister? And so I'm so grateful that last year, and many of you remember this, February and March of last year, we went on a two-month sabbatical. And so on Thursday night, I explained that process, how we got education on what a sabbatical was from different churches around the world that we learned, not in our brotherhood, because we don't go on sabbaticals in our brotherhood, but the goal was to encourage the elders, the people on staff, the boards, the core groups to consider this as a real option. And I'm so thankful that we're here in this congregation, because what we did as we were sharing something that it took us 10 years in the making to even come to conviction to do, that the elders, the core group, the board, the way you were behind it and all of you and how you supported it. And I believe that it's made a difference in our lives, and I believe a difference in the church. And so my prayer is that if only one couple could go on a sabbatical, it would change lives because of people. And we went through the struggle, too, and I shared about it. So we just got back yesterday evening, and it was a wonderful time hearing different thoughts. And so it was a beautiful time. And you can look at Unbox online, and about a week they'll have all the presentations up. I really encourage you to look at it, to look at the different ones. It was amazing, life-changing. So last few weeks we've been focused on this series entitled Follow Me. And we wanted to emphasize not just the do's and don'ts of Christianity, but we wanted to focus on the me. We wanted to focus on Jesus. It's about us following him. So it's about a person. It's not about the whys, the whens, and the hows, and all that. It's so much deeper than that. And so for the next month, we're going to focus on the series entitled Life to the Full. Because we believe that when you follow Jesus, you will have life and discover life to the full. Even in our full lives, we can have life to the full if we follow the Lord. I want to focus on one word to begin our time today, and that word is authority. Authority. Authority, you can put the slide up. The authority is a difficult word to sometimes grasp. And really, authority simply is the power or right to give orders, make decisions, and enforce obedience. When you hear the word authority, what's the first feeling that jumps into your soul? Yes?
My desire to rebel.
Rebel. Dan, boy, found a rebellious woman. In nature, and many, how many of us can relate? We think rebel. Now, what are other thoughts that we have when we think about the word authority? Yeah. To put down rebellion. We're going to leave that alone for this service. We need to see y'all in our office afterward. We'll talk, bringing the elders in. We'll. Huh? All right. Yes. Lord over. Okay. What's that? Okay, so how do you feel when you hear that word authority? What's your response? What's your response when you hear the word or see the word authority? Okay, so you're going, I don't know if... Okay, so it's decision time. Do I want to submit? Do I want to rebel? Right? Yes. Fear of being in trouble. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, yes. Okay, yeah, injustice. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Greg. Abuse, yeah. Yes. Yes. There you go. And that first one, you probably feel a lot of trust. When someone's in authority, they know what they're doing. You trust them. You give, just your trust, and you believe that they're going to take you where they need to take you. Okay? Yes. Power. Okay. All right. So do you, when you see the word authority, do you, what do you feel? You feel powerful or fear and power? Okay. All right. Yes. Fear of being respected. Restricted. Okay. Yeah. It's like, oh my, what am I not going to be able to do? Here they come. Look at that. Oh gosh. You know? Yeah. Obedience. Yes. Autonomy. Okay, yeah. Boundary setters. Boundary setters. Question it. Yeah. I mean, you know, to me, if we are to follow Jesus and to submit to his authority, we have to be okay with that word. We have to be okay with submitting and following. The challenge is what we see on the screen. Some dictator. You know, we see Hitler, right? We don't appreciate those in office. We don't pray for those in office enough. And sometimes we're a little, you know, hesitant because of the abuse of the authority that we see or perceive. And obviously he's an extreme example of that, but we see that and we have hesitation. Now we see this judge, right? This judge. We go in court. We wait for the judgment. That produces a feeling. Some judges are corrupt. Some judges are not. And then you see the caption above him, that was Rodney King being beaten. You see that image and you go, wow, I don't trust police officers. We can go there. I don't know how many of us, when we're pulled over for speeding, if you thank the officer, do we go, thank you, officer, for pulling me over because obviously I was speeding and endangering the lives of myself, my family, and those that are on this highway? Do we think that way? Who does? Raise your hand. That's awesome. That is awesome. Yes. Okay. So you thanked them then. You did. But maybe they should have given you a ticket. Because you kept on doing it. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry. The man, what's that? He had the authority to do it or not. Okay, all right. But maybe if they'd have written you a $300 ticket, you'd have stopped that speed. So we weasel our way out of authority. Yes. Uh-oh, this week. That's embarrassing. Yeah. But that was enough to get you straight. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Ah, and he gave you a ticket, right? Yes, yeah. Yeah. Were you speeding though, right? Yeah. Okay. All right, they don't play there. Okay, so we know we're wrong, and we get disciplined for it. And guess what? We have an attitude. Now you see this boy on the couch, afraid of his life because his parent is getting ready to do something, right? And obviously that may be an abusive situation. I didn't know the term time out when I was growing up. It was knockout. It wasn't time out, right? Time out, you know. That wasn't the deal. Now we take allowance, right? My parents used to give me advice on allowance. I didn't have allowance. They gave me advice on it. We allowed you to sleep under my roof. We allowed you to have a bed. We allowed you to eat. We allowed you, you know, to wear clothes that we bought. You know, so it's a whole thing. But obviously, when we are faced with the abuse of authority, wherever it comes from, that threatens our response to God's authority. It can hinder our trust in God's authority. And so we have to somehow fight through all the abuses that we, teachers that are mean, that are over the top. And we have the audacity, some of you teenagers right now, you're upset that teachers give you homework. That's their job. They want you to get educated. But no, we got an attitude, and we've been there, all of us, right? But I want you to understand that if we don't get a hold of our attitude of authority, when we see the word, when we view the abuses, if we don't separate that from God, we will suffer spiritually. It will eke its way into our relationship with God. Does this describe how God uses his authority? The power or right to give others orders, make decisions, and enforce obedience? Does that describe the way God uses his authority? Yeah. Some of the time. Okay. All right. Not solely based on it. Okay. Yes. Yeah. That's right. I think you're absolutely right. I think the part of the power or the right to give orders, God does. He created it, and he does. He orders the sun to rise. He orders the stars to still be up there. I mean, he orders this world. He makes decisions. But to enforce obedience, God doesn't do that. God never forces obedience. Anybody who says he does doesn't know their scriptures, doesn't know the Bible. God doesn't enforce obedience. He wants us to choose obedience. He wants us to respond to his love in obedience. And many ministers or people that force that, and that's the wrong God. It's not the God that we see in the scriptures. So in God's authority, he does not force us to obey. But he wants us and desires for us to obey for our own good and his glory. For our own good and his glory. So I want you to think about areas in your life that you respond in a submissive way to God's authority. And think about the areas in your life that you kind of rebel and you resist. And hopefully you can do some soul searching and find out why. And find out why. Sometimes we rebel because ministers or deacons or elders have abused their God-given authority. But you have to overcome that. Just like men in the Bible did when they were faced with abuses of authority, like a David, like a Joseph, who still understood that God was above all. If you can understand that, then that will help you. Did you know that Jesus was charged with abusing his authority? Did you know that? How was Jesus charged with abusing his authority? Do you know some scriptures that, what do you think? Yes, yes. People had problems with the claims that Jesus made and felt like he was abusing that authority or not the authority that he's claiming to be. Yes. When he cleared the temple? Okay. Yeah, we think that's an abuse of authority. Yes. When he did work on the Sabbath, right? We're going to talk about that in John 10. You know, he's healing on the Sabbath. And they're like, wait a minute, he's abused. That's not the authority that's given to him by God. No one, we're supposed to rest on that day. They didn't understand that he was the authority. The Sabbath was made for what? Rest. Sabbath wasn't made for man, but man for the Sabbath, or the opposite, the other way. So we don't need to focus on the law, but understand who's doing this? Who's doing this healing? The Sabbath was for rest, and the Sabbath was to point us to Jesus. But people missed that. What else? Abuse of authority, yeah. Yes, not following Jesus, not following the tradition of the elders. Yes. Outside of his authority, forgive. Absolutely. You know, when he said, well, shoot, is it easier to say, you know, rise up, take your mat, go home, or say you're forgiven? I had a problem with that. People, we can be okay and honest and say, we have a problem with authority man always had. Man always will struggle with authority. Yes. And rebuild it. How in the world can you do that? You're just a man. You're from this podunk town. What can you do? Yes. Yes. When he went to, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Struggle with that. Parents did too. Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. When he raised the dead, absolutely, they had problems with that. They had problems with that, and we talked about that last week when he raised Lazarus. I mean, man, you think, good gracious, the man's been dead for 4 days. We have a struggle. We have an issue with authority. Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. That's right. How in the world, if he's the Messiah, he's with those kind of people? Yeah. Yeah, forgave the sins of the paralytic. I mean, you read through the gospel and you point that stuff out. You pick it out. But also you see examples when people understood his authority. When they understood the centurion. Remember that? When he said, man, I'm a man of authority. I understand what you're doing. You can heal this child. And see, that's what we have to come to every single day, that God has authority over all of our lives. And we got to trust that. And so here in John 10, we talked about this example of him healing this blind man on the Sabbath day. They had issues with that. And we won't go into all of that, but we're going to go into the little dialogue where he's like, wait a minute now, you have to trust my authority. I'm not the authority that you're used to. I have come with my authority to give you life and life to the full. I am the good shepherd. Let's read in John chapter 10. John 10. Let's begin the dialogue when Jesus is trying to explain, and he says, let me tell you, honestly, very, very truly I'll tell you, in verse 7. In John 10, verse 7, therefore Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The shepherd, good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And he goes on. You can read it later. The power in what Jesus is trying to say, focused on explaining to the crowd that he is a good authority, the good shepherd, and the religious teachers are not. They're not. Those that came before him, now he's not talking about Moses and Joshua and David and Solomon and Nehemiah and Jeremiah and Daniel. He's not talking about these men that came before him. But he's talking about Israel's false teachers. He's talking about Israel's false shepherds and the wicked kings and the corrupt priests and false prophets and the pseudo-messiahs. He said, these guys, they come for one purpose. They're like thieves and robbers. They'll rob you in the daylight. They'll come like a thief at the night, like stealth, and steal you away. They want to steal, kill, and destroy. They want to invade, they want to carry off, they want to take away your stuff, your peace, your wisdom, your character. They want to kill and destroy, they want to cut it off entirely. They want to carry it away, they want to cancel, they want to remove it. The shepherd doesn't want to steal, kill, and destroy, not the good one. Jesus is saying, I have good authority. I have the authority you can trust. I come to give life, not destroy it. I come to protect life and not to expose you to danger, just like I do, or just like the shepherds do when they shepherd the sheep. In verse 10, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. What does Jesus, when he says, I have come to give life, what does that mean to you? I have come that they may have life. What does that mean? Yeah. Okay, great. What does it mean to you when you hear that? Yeah. Yes. Change it. Yeah. I'm sorry. What was the last part? Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes some of us, we can get to the point where we don't want to live this life anymore, that we want to take our own. Or we're so bitter that we just want to just go into depression and just forget it. It's tough. Yeah, here.
Your description says, you just said, you can trust. Mm-hmm. The world, you can't trust. But you can trust it.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Yeah, Joe.
I struggle with this concept more than anything in my Christian walk. Now, I mean, I understand it intellectually.
Yeah.
But in my mind, I am so afraid of losing control.
Okay. Yeah.
It turned me around all the time. When I'm struggling with my relationship with my wife, it's because I'm not trusting that Jesus is there to give me a full understanding of life with her.
That's right.
When I struggle with my kids.
Yep.
You know, same thing. I struggle with this more than anything because I don't want to give up control.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
But life is, I'm almost at this only when you understand a conscious of presence of God. And then you're willing to submit to that. If I don't understand how I can hear or how I can taste, how in the world can I become the Savior? The taste or the thing that I hear?
Okay.
Those incredible things that God has added to us when we can appreciate Him. Not just when we can have a nice little walk in the park.
Okay. So you describe that walk in the park as kind of life. Yeah. Yeah. Great. Trusting that God has got you. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Yeah, I love that. Psalm 16, trusting that God has got you. Yeah. Gotcha. Love it. Yes.
And so, for me, having the understanding of what's real and direction on, this is the way to really go, and this is what to really do.
Yeah.
So that I'm not
trapped. Yeah.
So for me, it's given me freedom.
Freedom, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But you know, even when you're just driving down the road, trying to get from point A to point B, and my nature is anxious, and then the scripture that comes to me, don't be anxious about anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and God gives you peace.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, we have, I don't know, 100 and so people in this room, and your definition of that, or our definitions of that, will vary. You know, what does Jesus mean when he says, I've come to give you life? Well, for some it may be, you know, yeah, he's giving me life and I'm married. I have kids. I have a job. I got an education. There's so many answers that we could share in our thought of what that means. That means that we have we're healthy physically. That means we're forget whatever that means. I really, when you think about the gospel, and we had this conversation this weekend. When you think about the gospel, the good news, I'll give you life. We're created in God's image, and life is living out that image. Life is striving after that image. Life is becoming that image. It's being more like Christ. It's being a disciple, it's being a follower, it's being a student. It's we're created to be more like Christ. And you know what's going to help me to be more like Christ? My life. Not your life in my life, but my life. My family, my marriage, my struggles, my joys, my difficulties, my house, my, you name it, my body, whether it breaks down or not, it's my life. And so you gotta be okay with God being an authority of your life, knowing where you are to go, where you can't go, where he's leading you, what is he allowing you to have. And so if you're okay with that, then you can say, you know what, no matter what happens, life for me is becoming more like Christ in this crisis, in this blessing, in every day of my life. So when I wake up, my goal is to be more like Christ. How does that play out? I gotta know. That's life. That's life. I think you're right. Because as we strive to be like Christ, one day we're going to be like him. One day we're going to be, and there you go. It's eternal life. There won't be days that are like yesterday or like the day before. Or like it's going to be all Jesus. It's going to be all God. But that should give us hope and not striving. I love what Bud was saying about all these trappings of this world. And we go, oh, I ain't living. Or life is, how's life? Well, life is, oh, let me tell you. Or we go, how's life? Well, life, man, it's great. I got a promotion. Or that, well, that's up and down. For a Christian, you go, how's life? Well, here's how I'm striving to be like Christ. That's life. That's the life of a Christian. And so Jesus is saying, come follow me. I'll give you life. I am the good shepherd. Following these other leaders and all that other stuff, that's not going to give you life. They're going to rob you of life. I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. You see, the challenge with me and us is that we don't think that if we follow Jesus really and let it all go, that we'll have abundant life. And that word abundant is something that exceeds all expectations. Following Jesus will exceed all your expectations. All your expectations. Do you know what that means? Still, if you're a 40-year-old Christian, are you still following that image? Are you still striving to be more like Christ? Do you have discussions with your brothers and sisters and go, well, man, boy, I tell you, I've seen where God's Spirit has helped me to do this, but I need to grow in these areas. We're going to be growing until the day we die, but don't be discouraged. That's the process. And so here he says, abundantly, you know, abundant life, forgiveness, that's more than we deserve. So God has supplied us with an abundant life in order to live this life. We have more than enough forgiveness. Forgiveness every day. We're blameless. Can you get an amen? Can I get an amen to that? So how do I walk when I'm blameless? I don't walk in a guilty manner. I get back up when I fall. Because that's how God wants me to walk. And that's why he forgave. He didn't forgive us to go, well, you're forgiven and that's it. It's not forgiveness for forgiveness' sake. It's forgiveness for freedom and power and appreciating the love of God. It's forgiveness to go, you know what? I can't create nothing. I don't deserve anything. I'm forgiven every day. Forgiveness, the author and perfecter. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to begin. I don't know how to finish, but he does. I am the Redeemer. I need to be bought back by the precious blood of Jesus. The Holy Spirit, the Counselor, he gives it to us, gives him to us to comfort, to counsel, and it's better than any discipling time. The Word of God for every good work. If you want to be more like Jesus, are you in the Word learning how? That's life. No fear of death. No death. Eternal life. Eternal life. The body of Christ. Oh my gosh, the body of Christ? That means I just don't have the Holy Spirit only, and I don't have Jesus only. I have little Jesuses all around. Little bits of Jesus in everybody here. And so, it's an honor. I don't have to come to church. I get to come to church. What a blessing. If you don't feel that way, check your discipleship. Rethink why you're doing what you're doing. And I believe that when we're in trials and tough times and we continue to follow Jesus in spite of all that's going on, God gets glorified and you go through this sanctification process that is amazing and it's abundant and it's more than we can ever imagine or ask for. It's a blessing. Because honestly, if you're forgiven, why don't we just go ahead and go up to heaven? I'd have been gone, you know, June 30th, 1985. I'd have been poof, right there. Immersed and boom, resurrected all the way to heaven. I mean, that would be sweet. No, it's sweeter to be able to live in this life and figure out and learn abundant life. I can't do it without following Christ. You can't do it by just coming to church. Can't do it by just reading your Bible. You got to understand that is your goal. Hebrews 13:8, I want to leave you with the scripture and with a question. Hebrews 13:8, you don't have to turn there. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. My world may change. I'm sorry, my world will change. It changes every doggone 20 seconds. It changes. And sometimes that change is good. And sometimes that change is challenging. But Jesus doesn't change. He's the same yesterday as he is today, as he will be tomorrow. He is the good shepherd. He doesn't change. How far back does yesterday go? Well, you read John 1, in the beginning there was. How far does tomorrow go? All the way up to eternity. He's unchanging. He will always be the good shepherd. He will always be that good authority that you can follow, that you can trust in, and you can give your heart to become more like. He leaves me better than I leave myself. I trust his authority more than my authority over me, whatever that means. I don't trust the way I lead me. Because the Bible says my heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? So I give, and it's a daily struggle. Day to day struggle. But the question I want you to ask yourself this week, every day, get on up, and I want you to ask yourself this question. If you're not living life to the full, what's getting in the way? Ask yourself that question throughout this week. If you're feeling like you're living an abundant life, amen, help somebody else. But if you feel like there's part of your life that's just not exceedingly good, ask yourself, what's getting in the way? God will reveal it to you. God will show you if you're open, if you're knocking, if you're asking. Because see, our goal, we pray that this series, Life to the Full, will actually help you, help us live life to the full. And when we do that, your family, this city, our state, this world will see true disciples of Jesus, loving one another, loving God, and through our lives, making God known. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for today. We thank you for the way that you continually to reveal yourself, you reveal yourself in your Son Jesus. You reveal yourself in everyday life. Father, help us to be aware of, Father, your warnings, your encouragements, your promises. Father, we desire to love you the most. And Father, forgive us for falling short. Forgive us for being so distracted and even stubborn in a sense that we don't trust your authority. Help us to realize that no authority outside of you is perfect. We all have flaws. But in spite of it all, Father, we can trust you. Thank you for the things that were shared this morning. Pray, and I just thank you for speaking through so many. Help us, Father, this week to go after that abundant life, to go after you, to go after your Son, Jesus. For your glory, Father, we do it. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this time of worship and sharing and allowing your Holy Spirit to move. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Have an abundant week. Amen.